Elise Castle.
Hello, Mike Jensen.
Here we are for episode 2 of season 2.
The Awful Truth.
The Awful Truth. This originally aired June 13th, 1999, directed by Alan Coulter, who directed the previous and I believe will direct the next and several more, and written by Darren Star. So the creator of the show writing an episode here. All right, so here is the DVD synopsis. Are there still things one should never say in a relationship? Carrie visits with a married friend whose husband is verbally abusive and wonders whether she should express her opinion. Meanwhile, Samantha struggles to tell her boyfriend about his shortcomings. Miranda musters up the courage to talk dirty to her lover's rapture, and Charlotte finds herself the ideal male ellipses puppy. Let's just get right to it, because it's pretty upsetting.
I don't like Richard.
No, it's awful.
But wait.
So two years ago, we get right into it. That 2 years ago, this woman, Susan Sharon, two names, married this man.
2 years ago, my friend, Susan Sharon, the East Coast rep for a line of Italian cashmere sportswear, married a very mean man.
Who gets really mad that she put the Natalie Imbruglia back in the U2 case.
It's really awful, and I actually have to pretend like, nope, I have to remember that we're watching a comedy.
Every time, like, when we go through this, you're going to hear my notes where I just keep going, who is this man? Like, yeah. I you'll see it. I'll just, like, bring it up every time because I was having the same exact
feeling.
It's
really, really distressing to me.
And it's disturbing.
It's very disturbing. So we meet Susan Sharon, played by Molly Price. Molly Price is a wonderful, wonderful actress. Her longest running gig, I think, was Third Watch. But she just had a beautiful short arc on the recent Feud, Betty and Joan miniseries. She was in the final season of Bloodline, but we don't, let's not talk about that. But she's terrific. She's a great actress. And this is a hard job, I suppose, because you have to try to understand why this woman would stay and then, spoiler alert, end up back with this horrible man.
This horrible, like, cartoon version of a man.
Yeah, you feel like if it was an actual cartoon, he would hop up and down and smoke would come out of his ears.
Yeah, and he would, like, have a cane that he hits things with but not actually need.
And then maybe in the end he would just explode and then he wouldn't exist anymore because that's what should happen to him.
Right.
So I just wrote troublesome.
Yeah. And his first real issue is that the Natalie Imbruglia CD was put back in the U2 case.
Meanwhile, she's just swilling her martini and, like, jumping every time he raises his voice. It's awful. It's actually a really, really awful scene.
And he's in, like, a smoking jacket and slippers.
And she refers, Carrie basically says it's someone that she mostly just sees when the husband's out of town. But the husband is not out of town in this case. Carrie and her, once again, I feel like they're walking in front of the Met.
Yeah, they are.
They like filming there. I do like the sly way in which Susan Sharon steals Carrie's cigarette.
Oh, okay. I didn't notice that.
It's a fun little thing where, like, Carrie is smoking and Susan Sharon takes a puff off of it. And then you can see Carrie kind of trying to get it back. And it's not her cigarette anymore.
And then they go back to Susan's place. Because,
that apartment.
Because Susan has something for Carrie. And Carrie says Susan Sharon had one of those adult apartments. Which I just wrote same. Because, you know, I have friends like that. Or I'll go to people's house and I'm like, oh, this is an adult house.
Yeah, that apartment is crazy. Are we also getting to the idea that it's Carrie's birthday is coming up?
Right.
Which I also like, it's not a spoiler, I'll give nothing away, but like third season will open with a birthday reference as well. So we are sort of getting a timeline of, I guess, when Carrie's birthday is.
Oh, is she a Cancer?
Well, once again, it's supposed to be in the summer.
Oh, yeah, we don't know. They're wearing coats. Who knows? They could be celebrating the 4th of July in snowsuits.
You never know.
We're
really getting to the puns now. One thing that, like, Sex and the City both kind of became famous for, but also was a little bit derided over, was the puns. So
it's a cash miracle. They open their second Barney's box.
Yes, we have Barney's again. So she gives her a $900 scarf.
And Carrie's like, can I sell it? I need the cash. And that's when Angry Richard
This scene is very, very well played in that they do start. It is established right away. You know, Richard is sleeping. We can't make any noise, and so their conversation starts in very hushed tones. And it's well acted that like each line kind of gets a little more boisterous until they're making too much noise. And yes, here comes. I just wrote awful.
Yeah, I wrote, who is this man?
Awful. It's really upsetting. And I'm trying to think how I would react if a friend of mine's husband screamed at me, get the fuck out of my apartment as I was leaving the apartment. I don't know that I could ever speak to that person again.
Well, I usually say that to you.
I'm so used to it from you at this point, though.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. And that's what I even... Well, in the next scene, we get to Carrie's apartment.
Yeah, so Carrie... Troublesome. I really... She's kind of
going
over...
Well, we get a shot of her cigarettes, which are Merit's.
Okay, so we're still doing Merit's. I'm gonna go for it and just say that SJP is a Merit fan, and they probably should have just had Carrie be one as well.
Yeah.
There's a comment about, like, it's equating fighting to flirting.
Could Susan Sharon's marriage be that bad? Or was their fighting just a form of foreplay?
Yeah, I wrote, how is this an issue? He is like Ebenezer Scrooge times 400. Like, how are we even thinking... Should we say something? Should we not say... Like, this is terrible.
And I don't know if it's just we're in a different time now where you would speak up about those things, but it's really, really awful. And just even the equating of, like, fighting to flirting just makes me a little uncomfortable.
Yeah, but it's not even flirting. We haven't seen any flirting.
Right. Well, she references, like, was I just the warm-up?
Oh, like, are they going
to
have,
like... To him hitting her? Maybe.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't like him.
It's very distressing. Susan Sharon calls and asks for advice, and I just wrote, ugh. Like, what do you say to this friend that calls and says, like, what would you do? Would you leave him? Would you stay with him? And
you think I should leave him?
If you're not happy, you know, life's too short.
It's a horrible situation of Susan Sharon asking Carrie, like, what would you do? And Carrie giving advice. And
yeah, I think that's when I wrote, like, how is this even an issue? Like, why is this even part of this episode? I don't know. If you don't remember, go back and watch it and, like, decide for yourself, but this man is terrible.
It's pretty awful. So we go to the ladies at lunch.
Telling a friend to leave her husband is something you just don't do.
Someone needs to fill those salt and pepper shakers.
You are such a server.
They are terribly low.
I just mostly, is this where they have the weird multicolored water glasses?
Mm-hmm. And the only one drinking, I think, is Samantha.
We have the conversation now about just truth in relationship. And of course you have Charlotte on one side saying that in an intimate relationship, you should be able to say anything.
Mm-hmm.
And you have Samantha on the other side saying that most relationships that she knows are built on lies and mutually accepted delusion.
Mm-hmm. And then you have Miranda dressed as a Chase bank teller.
I didn't notice that either.
I'm not a fan of the haircut Miranda has right now either.
Yeah, I think they're trying to figure her hair out. They're not quite sure what to do.
Not there yet.
Not there yet. Mm-hmm. We haven't zeroed in quite on the style that we hopefully will get to. We introduce Spring Roll Guy.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron Melman, I think is what she says his last name is. It doesn't say it on IMDb. But Aaron Melman, played by Neil Pepe? I think maybe that's how you pronounce his last name. He actually, at one point, was the director of the Atlantic Theater Company in Manhattan.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I don't know if he still is. I should look that up. But so he's a theater guy, though. He does a lot more theater, but he has a smattering of television appearances as well. We have I thought maybe there was like a contractual thing because he plays a little game of hide the boob as the camera is.
But then it pops up.
But then it pops up. So it wasn't out of modesty, I guess. It was just, or maybe we just wanted to ease ourselves into the boob.
Yeah. No, it's definitely there.
And he is vocal.
Very vocal.
He is someone who likes to talk a lot during the sex act.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas...
Sex is not a time to chat. In fact, it's one of the few instances in my overly articulated, exceedingly verbal life where it is perfectly appropriate, if not preferable, to shut up. And now suddenly I have to worry about being stumped for conversation? No, thank you.
And she's just like, okay, yep.
Oh, yeah. But also, we have Charlotte and Sam on the same side of an argument, which I kind of enjoy. You don't see those two in league with each other very often. And then Charlotte, you dirty girl.
She's like, sometimes you just have to make them feel good about themselves.
And then says cock about 500 times.
I wasn't going to say it because I'm a lady.
I'm not. And then do we get to the question
we
here?
We get to the question, which is... Are there still certain things in a relationship one should never say?
Let's ponder this for a moment.
Marriage.
I don't know. Are there? As two relationship experts.
No, I mean, I'm just thinking, like,
I'm just honestly trying to think. I'm trying to take both.
You should never act like Richard.
True. Never act like Richard.
Relationships are built on trust and honesty.
I actually do believe that. I know that that idea is mocked in one of the episodes in season one by Samantha. But I think that that's true. I'm not saying that every little thing has to be spoken about, but I don't know. I feel like that is the foundation of a good relationship is communication.
Yeah.
We have our interviews in the street.
These ones didn't do anything for me.
There was okay. I mean, I kind of like the one about the 30-year-old single woman who doesn't want to know the truth.
Oh, yeah.
But the best part of this is, for me, is the Susan Sharon transition, where we have Susan Sharon appearing to do an interview on the street, and then we realize that she's just not looking at Carrie while right. she's talking. So we transition into them
shopping at what I think is Balducci's.
Oh, it might be. I don't know. I couldn't place it.
Because they talk about Balducci's in the episode before.
And Susan Sharon is doing a lot of sampling.
Mm-hmm. And it's like Costco on a Saturday.
Exactly. And we get into we hear about the verbal sparring match that she had with her husband when she decided to leave him.
He said to me that there was this moment during our wedding when he looked at me and he felt this huge wave of disappointment because I looked so generic. And I said to him, you know what? On second thought, no, I don't think the Rogaine is working. So then he said to me that if I leave, all he'll feel for me is pity because he'll be remarried within a year and I'll be single for the rest of my life.
I didn't want to tell Susan Sharon that his last statement was probably true.
And there is a broader discussion about that, I think, about men of a certain age divorcing their wives of a certain age. It's easier for one than the other.
Right.
I won't say for who, but it just is. And it's unfortunate and it's depressing. But yeah, even Carrie kind of agreeing of like, yeah, that last part's probably true. And then she has to stay at Carrie's place.
And Carrie's like, of course.
Of course. But you know that inside she's thinking, what?
Get off my couch. You're snoring.
So now we meet Charlotte's new guy, Henry.
Henry, the ill-behaved dog.
It's just a puppy. It's just a dog.
Well, she keeps it locked in her bedroom.
Yeah, we'll get more to that. So we get to Sam and James having a moment where he's trying to figure out what's wrong and she's saying it's her, but everything's fine. That ends in him getting her to agree to go to couples counseling.
And Sam fears the shrink.
Yeah, very much. More the way some people feel about the dentist.
Which I thought about because I was thinking like, well, this kind of makes sense. Because I've said from day one that even though Samantha is the most confident and, you know, she seems to be the one that's the most straightforward, I think there's a lot of like backstory to her that we just don't know.
Probably.
Which is why she fears the shrink.
We have awkward sex talk. This is really the scene where like Miranda is trying but not trying.
Well, and they do the pun where they say Eliza Doolittle and My Filthy Lady is what they do. They missed a really good opportunity there.
Don't say it.
Eliza Doolittle.
Oh, that was... See, I was going to say either Eliza Screwlittle.
Okay.
Or there was something about, like, Eliza Do Very Little.
Oh.
Something. But Doolittle, I like that, too. But they're definitely... They missed a pun in there.
Yeah.
One way or the other, there was more to be said there.
Yeah, she says things like a big, throbbing, rock-hard sausage.
I think that it's sausage that gets me the most because she's like hard and like rock and like solid. And she's like, sausage.
Sausage.
Oh, baby, you are so nasty.
But then she's getting into it too.
Yeah, but there are a few things about if we really want to get into the dynamics of this scene, there are some things that don't make sense. Like how midway through whatever they're doing, he's like, oh, you're getting me hard. You weren't already? Like, what have you been doing
weird.
This whole time?
It's really weird. That's why I didn't, like, I don't know. I mean, I get what this show's about. It's in the title. But sometimes I'm just like, do you want some privacy?
Well, we go to Carrie and Susan Sharon meeting Henry at Charlotte's. I mostly note this scene because it feels like Susan Sharon is getting some scenes that no other, like, friend has gotten before.
Yeah, I was unsure of what the point of this scene was. Did Charlotte know Susan Sharon before? Was she friends with them and Lainey Berlin?
Know. Yeah, days. I don't know. It's a weird setup, and I guess it's mostly so that Susan Sharon can do her thing of like, well, if he calls, I want to be there to tell him that I'm not speaking to him. You know, and all of
right.
and Charlotte calls her out on being very, very passive aggressive, which is very, very true.
Well, that's really passive aggressive. You should only speak to him if you have something specific to say.
So yeah, it's a kind of a strange scene, but I think it's just to establish that Susan Sharon has left her husband for good. And that's definitely she's not going back, except for she wants to be there when he calls to say she's not coming back. And like, why hasn't he called yet? He should have called by now. So she's not in the sanest headspace.
No.
And then Carrie gets flowers.
The flowers arrive in a big box.
And then we get to the next scene, and there are a lot of things to talk about.
Well, Henry's not a service dog.
Okay, stop. I cannot. It's almost, there's so much else that happens in the scene, and we'll get to it. But all I can focus on is that dog that she's holding, who's clearly not a service dog. I'm going to say it.
Uh-oh.
Are you ready?
I think I have to be.
Don't take your dog out to dinner with you. Your dog doesn't want to be there. He doesn't want to be, like, sitting on your lap as you eat your food.
Or she.
And if your dog does, the people eating near you don't want your dog sitting on your lap. Like, it's so... If you need to have a dog there with you for medical purposes, no one will begrudge that. Don't just take your dog to dinner, though. I don't like it. I'm taking a stand.
Mike against dogs.
Mike
against dogs at dinner. My dad.
I don't like it. I find it very... And it's so distracting in the scene.
Well, I think that's kind of the point.
Right,
but...
sure. So, to the non-dog-related moments. First of all, is Carrie's hair tucked into her sweater?
I didn't notice it.
It's so weird to me. Because, like, for just a moment, it looks like she has short hair. But it's just that her sweater's on, like, over her hair.
Yeah, this scene seems like they were all kind of just thrown together.
A little bit, even though it's her birthday. We established this right. is the day of her birthday. They're getting brunch, even though they're going to be having dinner later.
Big has sent her flowers.
Big has sent her flowers. So the flowers are from Big. We bring up, is it a grand gesture or is it a vague gesture?
You know, under the guise of being thoughtful, he's actually being very selfish.
I agree. He's muddied the waters.
Oh, you're all just cuckoo.
I mean, kind of a vague gesture.
Yeah, it's pretty vague. Like the way he signs the card. And
right. And we'll get even to more of that later on. We have Charlotte. Says to her dog.
You said you wanted to get out and socialize, but you just have to learn how to bathe.
No, he didn't. He didn't say that. Your dog never said that to you.
Yes, Mike's angry.
It's just even like the touch of like scolding her dog. No, that doesn't work that way.
Mike is the Richard to dogs.
To be clear, I have nothing against dogs. I owned dogs as a child.
Yeah, we know. Todd and Tim. Tim and Todd. Those well-dressed cockapoos.
It's just very aggravating to me. So we get to Carrie then thinking about Big. And she says basically, is the one thing he can't say I was wrong. Now, I want to talk about that a little bit, because what was he wrong about?
Right.
He wasn't wrong about anything.
He just hasn't said a lot of things.
Listen, like, me defending Mr. Big is not something that's going to happen all that often.
Uh-oh.
He didn't do anything wrong. Like, no. He didn't tell you were the one, because he didn't know if you were the one.
Carrie.
It doesn't make it any less sad. I'm just saying, the whole idea of he can't say he was wrong is very bizarre to me. So she decides to call him. Over the vague gesture, just call and say thank you. This, now we go back to the other part of Mr. Big, which is where he just, now is he playing it off? Like, oh, my secretary sent them, I had nothing to do with it. And then she says, well, thanks to your secretary. And he's like, well, I still sent them. He is now, we're back to him kind of playing both sides of the situation.
Well, that was very thoughtful of her and you for sending them.
So you're welcome. What are you doing on the big day?
And then she invites him to dinner.
And he says he may bring someone. And we'll get there when we get there. But that is...
I don't know. In my mind, I'm like, oh, he's trying to just... Like, why would you say that?
Right.
And I think he just wants to have the power in the situation.
Yeah. And have her have that moment of like, oh. Because she's now going to... Because, of course, we're going to get to it, that it's not a woman. It's a guy that we know, that we've met before. But he has to know that for the rest of the day, she's going to be thinking he's going to show up with a woman.
Right.
And that's awful. That's an awful way to make someone feel.
It's not very nice.
Not very nice. So before we get there, apparently between brunch on Carrie's birthday and dinner on Carrie's birthday was the perfect time for James and Samantha to have their counselor.
Velma Rudin.
Velma, the author of...
Into Me See.
That's awful. That's terrible. Marilyn Sokol. She was on Sesame Street for a very long time.
Oh.
And she was in a movie called Foul Play, which is a Chevy Chase Goldie Hawn film that when I was a child, I was obsessed with. And when I looked up her picture, that's the only picture IMDb that has of her, is her with these brass knuckles, which is such a memorable scene to me. Anyway, call back to Mike's childhood. And Sam can't do it anymore.
No.
Shall we say next week, same time?
Good for me.
The idea of seeing Velma into Missy Rudin on a weekly basis was much more than Samantha could bear.
Your penis is too small.
To which James says,
did you ever stop and think maybe your vagina is too big?
Well played, James.
And she says to Velma,
one of my favorite lines of all time.
What can I say? I need a big dick.
To which Velma says,
I hear that.
Once again, a line that I quote not infrequently. That's pretty good. So, also before...
That relationship's over.
Yeah, that relationship's over. Bye, James.
Also before they go to dinner...
Just a real quickie.
Miranda decides that she's getting real good at this speaking during sex thing. And Aaron starts asking her, like, well, what do I like? And she's like...
You like it when I'm biting your nipple?
Mm-hmm. And what else?
You like it when I'm kissing your balls.
Oh, yeah, keep going.
And they go on and on, and then she's like, you just love a finger in your ass.
Excuse me?
You just love a finger in your ass.
I guess what I want to say to Aaron is, don't ask her to name the things you like if you don't want her to name the things you like.
Aaron?
That's kind of on you, Aaron.
Yeah.
We also do just get to, like, the physiological, because then we're going to cut to dinner, and... We kind of have, you know...
Everyone's like, dudes love fingers in their butt, but they just don't want you to know it. Well, then whose fingers are in their butt?
Right. Well, then also, and Stanford makes the comment of, like...
Personally, I don't like anything in my ass.
And of course, they all laugh because he's gay, so he must like things in his ass, which is fine. Except for, I know plenty of gay men who don't. And for the record, I know a great number of straight guys that do. It's not a gay thing versus a not gay thing. It's physiological. Like, I think any human, but certainly any man, can have pleasure that way. But then it does come down to whether or not you want that or not. Anyways, that's all I'm saying.
Is this the episode I'm sending to your mother or no?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and then...
Well, before we get too much into that, what did you think about the pink Cosmos?
They were a really good color.
Yeah, they were very light. Kind of, they nailed that pink Cosmo, I thought.
Finally, at the one place...
Somebody stepped in and was like, you're doing this wrong!
Mike
might have been me.
Yeah, Mike was a
when I was 22.
Yeah, you walked in there and you're like, listen.
And living in Atlanta,
you're a consultant.
Yeah. What do you think about Carrie ordering her drink?
Order another double vodka rocks for the birthday girl, please.
The truth was, vodka was my only ally.
I just wrote down vodka was my only ally because I thought Allie. I've been up for a long time. Vodka was my only ally because I thought you would identify with
that's
that.
What I say most nights.
Yeah.
Big arrives with. And now we're
that
once
turtleneck
again
guy. I don't
that turtleneck
his
guy,
name.
But he just his hello is just
happy birthday, baby.
Now I will tell you what, that would pull at my heartstrings. If someone that you once like loved and probably still do have feelings for calls you baby, am I the only one that feels that way about that word?
I think it's just no. I get that moment like where you know he comes in and he says that and it makes her feel special and.
Yes, and he's with Jack, Mr. Marvelous, who we know from season one, like mm-hmm. episode two?
Yeah.
Super early on. We didn't say it before, so I will say that his name is Daniel Gerrell, I think is how you say his last name. Once again, an actor who's done a ton of work. He was in Big Business.
Oh, with Bette.
Do you remember? You
know, I don't remember him in it, but...
Carrie's a little too happy to see him. That's probably partly the vodka mixed with like the relief that it's...
I think it's just the relief.
Yeah,
I
probably a little bit of both where she's super happy that it's him. Whether or not she likes him, she's just glad that it's not a woman.
Right.
Jack is your date?
Well, I wasn't aware that we were formally dating, but now
it
that
is so good to see you again. How have you been?
Marvelous. Just split up with a bitch who broke my heart. At least she didn't get my money.
Oh, happy birthday to me.
Big makes the comment early on of like he can't stay long and maybe it's just to have the joke about his camel is parked outside, but then he stays.
He gets lap dances.
He stays. Yeah, like, as far as we can tell, he's like the last person there with Carrie.
Yeah.
We also now establish And I'm not saying that anyone deserves it. I'm not saying that she should go back. We've established it throughout the episode. Susan Sharon is a lot.
It's just that I really never imagined myself as a divorcee, you know? But I do think it's more important to till your own soil than it is to go in search of greener pastures.
Do you ever shut the fuck up?
Yeah, she is really, like, talking his ear off.
I don't want her to go back to him still.
I don't want her to stay at Carrie's, though.
I don't want her to stay at Carrie's either.
I feel like she has enough money.
It seems like it, right?
But I wrote, why does she miss him?
Yeah. I mean, I guess you miss anyone you've been with for 2 years.
I mean...
I'm not defending Richard. I think Richard is terrible.
Richard sucks.
Yeah, Richard is the worst. Charlotte comes home to step in some... This scene doesn't make a ton of sense. She steps in some dog poop in the hallway.
But the dog's been locked up in her bedroom. The dog's
so I don't know how that poop got there.
And he's been ripping up her pillows because he's bored and pissed. Because
he's a puppy. He's like a little puppy that she clearly hasn't bothered to really train. Do we think that the dog really saved their marriage? Do we think that now he just yells at the dog and leaves her alone?
Well, that doesn't make me feel good.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what to do with that storyline.
This wasn't a good one.
No, that was a bad. It was an upsetting storyline. I don't know how you could do it better. I don't know how you would establish that he's just not pleasant, but isn't necessarily horribly abusive, which is what it feels like he is. That storyline's over. Let's forget it ever happened.
Do we meet them again? Because I don't really like them.
We are gonna have one of our very first, maybe our one of our only. Recurring one more time character. We will see Susan Sharon again in the future. I won't say anything more about it or what it entails, but Susan Sharon will come back one more time.
I hope it's to end up with Skipper, because he needs someone good.
So we go to Big and Carrie on a walk. So clearly Big could stay, and in fact did stay until the very end.
Spent all his cab fare,
putting 20s down the ladies' dresses.
Good thing he has that black car.
Yeah. Well, I guess it's just waiting for him somewhere around there.
Always.
And they just have a moment, just walking with someone. And I definitely get that. I definitely get this is someone that was very important to her. And apparently it was only a month or so ago. And that those feelings don't go away that quickly. And certainly spending time with that person. Because her final thing is, as I watched him go.
I realized the one thing I couldn't say to Mr. Big was, I'm still not over you.
And of course you're not. It hasn't been that long.
No. And he's not making it easy.
No, but see...
Neither is she.
See, Big? See? He's doing it. He wants to keep her right there. Don't let her get too far away. And she wants it too. The heart wants what it wants. Which is why I had mine removed years ago.
The heart wants what it wants, but don't tell anyone that it's a finger in the butt.
And that's episode two.
And that's episode two.
It's good. I mean, that one storyline is terrible.
Yeah, I don't know if I was a fan of this one just because I didn't get that whole storyline. I didn't understand. They brought in a lot of things that just ended up not making anyone look good, if that makes sense. Like, I didn't, like Charlotte, I feel like, wouldn't get rid of a dog. I mean, the Samantha thing, that made sense.
I was just bringing that to a close. And...
Like, Miranda...
However you feel about the Samantha storyline and her saying to him, your penis is too small. I mean, that's not... My final thing that I do... Not necessarily final, but one thing I do want to say about that is... He must already know.
Well, right. And also, like, Miranda... Like, did we need to bring in that asshole guy to just never talk to him? Like, it just felt like an episode that didn't do much to advance any characters except for Carrie and Big.
Well, I think it served mostly just to set up the fact that we're not done with Carrie and Big. For though I actually meant to make a joke on the last episode of last season when I was gonna say, like, and then we never saw Mr. Big again, because of course we see Mr. Big a few more times over the course of this
season. Well, you missed your chance, Mike.
I know. I missed my joke.
You can't make this joke three episodes later.
Yeah, so yeah, you're right. It's a weird episode.
I just didn't understand it, but, you know.
I guess it's to end. I think it's to get Samantha back on track as, like, the wild woman.
All right, but why did we need Susan, Sharon, and Richard? Like, what did they bring to this other than...
Awfulness.
Anxiety.
Yeah. And we supply enough of that on our own, thank you.
I don't need any more.
All right. Well, that's it. We'll be back with hopefully a less abusey episode. Not to get Busey involved.
Gary Busey?
That's kind of what I was going for.
All right. Buddy Holly story is a great movie.
All right. We're going away. Thanks for joining us.
Bye.
Bye. You can visit us at WeCouldn'tHelpButWonder.com, like us on Facebook, and follow us on Instagram, all at WeCouldn'tHelpButWonder with no caps, no spaces, and no punctuation, and Twitter at WCHBWPodcast. You can follow Elise at Evie Castle and me at Mikey Jensen. Special thanks to Patrick Hines. Make sure you check out TheaterPodcastProductions.com to see all the work that he does. We would love if you would share this podcast with someone. Put a link on Facebook or tell a friend. Take a moment and rate us on Apple Podcasts, or even better, write a review. We'll be back next week with The Freak Show. I'd be like, I'd probably murder him in his sleep. Oh, no, I wouldn't do that. Don't do that. That's a bad idea. Do it when he's awake so it hurts.
Mike is scaring me. Ow. Sorry, I'm getting old. This podcast is going to have a lot of just me falling apart.
That's what we're all here for.